In the season of Epiphany, we hear gospel stories that continue to reveal to us the miracle of Jesus coming among us as a human. We hear how Jesus' birth impacts those who first receive him. A few choice stories about his family and childhood, and we hear how he is chosen and anointed by God in baptism. In the season of Epiphany, Jesus embarks on his ministry, calls his disciples, and begins the work to which he is called. And in each of the four Gospels, this ministry is slightly different. In John's Gospel, we hear no story of a visitation of angels or a holy nativity. We hear instead a poetic opening that describes Jesus' origin on a vast cosmic level. And this prologue reminds us that the purpose of God becoming human in Jesus Christ was to reveal God to humanity, and that that revelation could be summed up in one phrase, grace upon grace. After Jesus is baptized by John and calls his disciples, he begins his ministry, a series of teachings and miracles that are meant not only to tell us of God's grace, but to show us this grace in action. In this morning's gospel, we hear of the first of the miracles in John's gospel, the changing of water into wine at the wedding at Cana. This miracle, like all of the miracles in John's gospel, is called a sign which points to more than just attracting attention or alleviating suffering, but rather points to something deeper, to the very character of God, the character revealed in Jesus. In all, there are seven signs in John's gospel. Cana is the first, the strangest, and perhaps also the least useful of the signs. The other signs include healings of those who are afflicted with suffering, both physical and social. A miraculous feeding of thousands on a hillside, the appearance of Jesus walking across the water, and the raising of the dead man, Lazarus, who had already been entombed and grieved by his loved ones. As these miracles go, the provision of wine at a wedding seems both pedestrian and frivolous when compared to the healing of the sick or the feeding of the hungry, or the raising of the dead. Running out of wine at a wedding seems inconvenient, even potentially embarrassing, but it certainly doesn't seem like a life or death situation. And yet the author of the Gospel of John chooses this sign as the first to point to who Jesus is and why God has chosen to walk among humankind on earth. So the wine in this morning's gospel must be more than just a sign of hospitality or a vital ingredient for a joyful wedding. In the Bible, wine is a sign of the harvest, of abundance, of joy and gladness. To run short on wine was to run short on something else, to run short on the blessing of God. And in turning water into wine at Cana, Jesus assures us that God's blessings are more abundant than we can imagine. Much speculation has been recorded over the years about the nature of this miracle, and especially about the meaning of the six jars of water that Jesus transformed at Cana. The gospel writer tells us that these jars were set aside for the rites of Jewish purification, and their vast size is noted. Each jar made of stone would hold 20 or 30 gallons of water. When Martin Luther preached on John 2 in 1525, he connected these stone jars to the law of the Hebrew Bible. He said, "The six water pots of stone for the purification of the Jews are the books of the Old Testament, which by law and commandment made the Jewish people only outwardly pious and pure. There being six water pots signifies the labor and the toil which they who deal in works undergo in such purification. For the heart finds no rest in them, since the Sabbath, the seventh day, is wanting, in which we rest from our works and let God work in us. Luther compares the stone of the jars to the stone of the tablets upon which Moses wrote the law. And he argues that to turn water into wine is to turn law into gospel, to turn obligation into freedom and joy. When I think of the enormity of those jars of water, of their size, and perhaps more strikingly, of what they must have weighed, I imagine that Luther must have thought of them as symbols of the heaviness of the law, which for Luther always serves to remind us of our own sinfulness and how we have strayed from God's will. And for those enormous, heavy jars of water to be transformed to jars of wine, jars of joy and blessing and gladness, speaks volumes of God's purpose in Christ. God's purpose is one of abundant blessing, of boundless grace that has the capacity to change the whole world. The abundance of grace found in those stone jars is an abundance that runs completely counter to humankind's tendency towards scarcity and miserliness. Even though the scriptures speak of God again and again as one of abundant blessing and provision, we as humans seem often to think of abundance as something shameful or embarrassing. Or worse, we as humans don't think of abundance at all. We tend toward the practical and the useful. It's one thing for God's grace to solve real problems, sickness, hunger, even death. But we are less apt to think of God's grace as the bearer of something as frivolous, as pure, unadulterated joy. Even as we follow Christ and we believe in the grace of God, we tend to read the gospel in human terms. How often have we thought of the grace we are given in Christ as simply being an antidote to sin, a payment of our debts, a kind of cosmic eraser for St. Peter's ledger of the deficiencies of our lives? But God's grace doesn't just make up for our deficiencies. It doesn't just heal our brokenness or feed our hunger, or even just raise up the parts of us that are dead and entombed like Lazarus. God's grace in Jesus Christ does all of that and abundantly more. It pours blessing and joy into every facet of our lives in ways that we are unable to understand, in places that we are incapable of seeing. The grace of God in Christ is as abundantly impractical as 180 gallons of wine stored in open stone jars, an amount impossible to utilize, impossible to save. It is something simply to be enjoyed, simply to be marveled at. It occurs to me that while some marveled at the sign that Jesus performed in Cana, many overlooked the miraculous abundance of God exhibited that day. Neither the steward nor the bridegroom knew of the wine's divine origin, though they both marveled at its quality. It was the servants who witnessed God's work, who saw in Christ the provision of joy and blessing that day. Of all the signs contained in John's recounting of Jesus' life, he chooses to begin with this one, the most superfluous, and in many ways, the least life-changing. At the end of the Gospel of John, the author writes, "Jesus performed many other signs that were not recorded in this book, but these were set down, so that you might believe that Jesus is the Messiah and that you might have life in his name. For John, life always means life abundant, life filled with the marvelous provision of God. This abundance surrounds us daily, and like the steward and the bridegroom, we are often unaware of its miraculous nature. St. Augustine wrote about this miracle that even as that which the servants put into the water pots was turned into wine by the doing of the Lord, so in like manner also is what the clouds pour forth changed into wine by the doing of the same Lord. But we do not wonder at the latter, because it happens every year. It has lost its marvelousness by its constant recurrence. And yet it suggests a greater consideration than that which was done in the water pots. For who is there that considers the work of God, whereby this whole world is governed and regulated, who is not amazed and overwhelmed with miracles? Overwhelmed with miracles, grace upon grace. Too often we are the stewards and the bridegroom who fail to notice the goodness and splendor in life that is a gift from God. Or perhaps we are the wedding guests who might not even marvel at the abundance of hospitality offered. But in his commentary on this sign, St. Augustine invites us to become like the servants, witnesses of God's miraculous provision, and perhaps with God's help, evangelists who share an account of God's marvelous works in our lives. As we go about our lives, we too are overwhelmed by miracles. Witnesses to this grace upon grace. Witnesses to the grace of the love of our families, the joy of our friendships, the abundance of creation, the wonder of modern conveniences, the blessing of meaningful work, the gift of leisure. All of these and so much more are but a tiny fraction of the grace of God poured out through Christ in our lives. May we be witnesses to these things, recipients and bearers of the grace of God, which was abundantly shown in Cana. Amen.